So we're going to go ahead and get started, and I just wanted to introduce myself really quickly because I know we may have some visitors that aren't members of my community. My name is Lee Benz, and I'm the Home Scholar. You can go to my website at thehomescholar.com. And my mission is to help parents homeschool high school. And that's why I have Dr. Jay Weil here today, because he has written the books on Exploring Creation, that series of science books. And his books, Exploring Creation with Biology and Chemistry and Physics, those were books that we used in my own homeschool. And I happen to absolutely love those books. I remember the first time, I think it was the year before I purchased Exploring Creation with Biology, which was the first edition, by the way, Jay. And I actually had heard you speak at a convention when my children were in junior high. And that in no way implies that you are old at all, because you look younger than me, and I'm certainly not old, right? So it has nothing to do with being ancient. But I do really love your science books, and I think they're great college preparation. I also think they're really good at teaching children to become self-teaching. And in fact, my younger son, he's not a real science guy, but he did so well with the Exploring Creation with Biology. He actually passed a CLEP exam in biology, and he aced his college physics class. And then my other son, who is the science guy in the family, he went in to major in electrical engineering, and he graduated cum laude just this year, aced all of his engineering physics classes. And I have to tell you, Jay, he referred constantly to his Apologia books when we were done homeschooling and he was in college. He would go back and he'd read the chemistry book because he preferred the way that you explained the mathematical concepts than the way his math books did. And he had his physics books out every single quarter of engineering because he liked to go back and read your general concepts before he would dive into it at a college level. So I thought you'd enjoy some feedback. So,
well, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that we have some complementary missions because, as I said, my mission is to help parents homeschool high school, and your mission is to help parents homeschool. And that works out really great. So I just want to make sure that if you have your spouse available, you might want to have them come in and listen to this webinar, because if one parent doesn't enjoy statistics, generally speaking, the other one does. So we're just going to sit back and enjoy hearing Jay Weil speak on discovering how and why it works, homeschooling, discovering how and why it works with Dr. Jay Weil.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. So we are going to talk about how and hopefully a little bit about why homeschooling works. To let you know, I will be giving you a lot of statistics in this talk, and if you want to refer to those statistics later, or if you want to see the original studies the statistics are based on, you can go to my website, drweil.com, click on handouts, and then click on this events listing. It'll be the top one, and so you can get the handouts. I actually don't think they're up yet, but they'll be up very soon. Sorry about that. I put them up before I started this. But they'll be up very soon after the talk. That way you can get access to this information again. Just so you know a little bit about who I am, in case you're not familiar with me, I was a university professor, started off at Indiana University, and then went to Ball State University. The reason I went to Ball State University is that they were offering at the time something I thought that was very innovative. It was a high school for gifted and talented students, and it was actually a boarding school run by the state. So if you thought your child was gifted and you wanted to get rid of your child for the last 2 years of high school, you could apply to this program, and if the educrats in charge thought that your child was gifted, then your child could come and live on the Ball State campus during the academic year and take a blend of courses, some of which were the college courses they were currently eligible for, and the others were high school courses designed specifically for gifted and talented students. And I was brought in to develop the science curriculum that, as far as I know, is still used there, but it's been a long time. at the time, like I said, I thought that was a very innovative program, and it only cost the Indiana taxpayer $15,000 per child per year. And that was back in the 90s when $15,000 was a lot of money. When you're a professor at a university, you have to continue to expand the knowledge in your field. As a scientist, that means doing scientific research, which means doing experiments, which cost money. So you have to get funded somehow. I was funded through the National Science Foundation, which is a tax-supported institution. So that $200,000 in part is thanks to you. So I really want to thank you for allowing me to research things that, A, you couldn't care less about, and, B, have no practical value whatsoever. The main thing I want to talk about, though, is how I got interested in home education. It wasn't because I had children to home educate. In fact, when I started working with homeschoolers, my wife and I were double income, no kids. But I was at Ball State University, and I started running into students who were head and shoulders above the rest. And when I would ask them where they went to school, they said, at home. Now, I didn't even understand what that meant because I knew nothing about homeschooling. Nevertheless, these people who were supposedly educated by their mothers were doing incredibly well in my chemistry and physics courses. And so eventually I got to the point where I thought I really ought to think about this homeschooling thing a little more, and it all kind of came to a head one day when I was driving on my way to work and realized that of the three top students that I had at Ball State, if I considered my three best students, all three of them said they were taught at home. And so at that point, I decided to look into homeschooling. Now, the way, as a scientist, you look into homeschooling is probably different than everybody else. As a scientist, what I wanted to know is these kids that I was experiencing, were they representative of the norm, or were they statistical anomalies? So in other words, I wanted to see if these great students that I had really were representative of homeschooling, or if they just were good because they were lucky. So in the end, I just looked at the academic research, and I'm going to show you a lot of studies. Most of them are newer than the ones I was looking at, but studies that show that, yes, this is representative of the norm. Homeschoolers are head and shoulders above the rest, both academically and socially. And so I want to talk about that for most of the talk. Of course, the more I got into homeschooling, the more I was comfortable there, and the more I thought I was doing real education. So I started writing junior high and high school science courses for homeschool students. And I don't currently do that anymore, but I'm still working a lot with homeschoolers. So that's a little bit about me. What I want to jump into is the meat of the talk now, which is that homeschooling really does work. One way you can look at it is there are a lot of folks homeschooling. More U.S. students are enrolled in homeschool than in charter schools. And there are a lot of people who say charter schools are great and they're the way to go and so forth. Well, you know, if charter schools are the way to go, homeschoolers actually are doing more than that. There are more of them than in charter schools. According to studies, the average home-educated student is better educated and better socialized than his or her peers. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that significantly as time goes on today. Homeschoolers get accepted to all major universities, and homeschoolers distinguish themselves in the workplace. And I want to talk about that as well. You know, as a university professor and as a former university professor and as an educator who is mostly focused on university preparation, I put a lot of emphasis on that. But in fact, there are a lot of wonderful things you do without ever going to university, and there are a lot of homeschooling graduates who have gone on to distinguish themselves in the workplace without ever going to university at all. So I want to talk about that a little bit as well. So let's just start with the academics, and let's look at what's happening in homeschool, so in grades K through 12. This is one of my favorite studies on homeschooling, because it was written by a skeptic. This study was done by Lawrence Rudner. At the time he did this study, he was in charge of the United States' largest clearinghouse on educational research. If I publish a study that has anything to do with education, it eventually went through his clearinghouse, which is called ERIC. And so he was very familiar with all these studies that show homeschoolers excel. And he thought those studies were all methodologically flawed. He did not think homeschoolers excelled. In fact, he thought homeschoolers were below average. And he actually made the statement several times that if he could design the perfect study, he would show that homeschoolers were, in fact, lower than the norm when it came to their educational achievement. So, in fact, HSLDA said, we'll give you the money to do that study because we really want to see. So Lawrence Redner did that study, and here's his results. He used a means of assessing education called the DSS scale. And the DSS scale is simply a way of measuring education level regardless of grade. Whether you're at grade 1 or grade 12, your DSS score tells you how educated you are. The higher your DSS score, the more educated you are. So he took a bunch of homeschooled students, he took a bunch of privately schooled students, he took a bunch of publicly schooled students. He did all the methodological things that he thought needed to be done to make sure you were truly comparing equivalent groups of students. And then he evaluated their education using the DSS score. And here are his results. The red curve there is for homeschooled students. The pink curve is for privately schooled students. And the blue curve is for publicly schooled students. And what you see is for every grade level, the average homeschooled student is significantly better educated than the average privately schooled student, who in turn is significantly better educated than the average publicly schooled student. This is true in every grade. Now, I like these results because this is exactly the opposite of what he wanted to show. He thought that homeschooled students would be at the bottom of the three tiers. He thought that red line would be below the blue line. But in fact, it's quite the opposite. Homeschooled students, on average, were better educated at every grade level. Now, there's some more stuff you can read into this chart, and I think it's actually more important. You kind of have to get used to looking at these graphs, though, and if you're not familiar with looking at graphs, it might be a little hard to do. These lines all have wiggles in them. That's because of statistical error, most likely. You want to look at these lines and kind of average those wiggles out in your mind. Try and ignore the wiggles and look at the general structure of the curve, all right? Now look at the red curve and the pink curve. Do you notice that the average distance between them doesn't change much? It gets a little bigger and a little smaller, but it certainly doesn't change in any pattern. From grades 1 through 12, the average distance between these two lines stays about the same. But look at the average distance between the blue line and the red or pink line. Notice that that average distance clearly increases with increasing grade. What this tells you is whether you're homeschooled or privately schooled, the older the student is, the better the student gets relative to public schooling. So where homeschoolers and privately schooled students really make gains is in the older years, not the younger years. In the younger years, they start out advanced compared to publicly schooled students, but in the older years, they actually become more advanced compared to publicly schooled students. Now, this goes exactly opposite the way a lot of people think. A lot of people think homeschoolers can do K through 6 education because it's not that hard. But once you get through grades 7 through 12, you've got to put your kids in school because there's no way you're going to teach these higher level grades. But in fact, what the data say, and this isn't the only data that show this, but this is a very good example of this, what the data say is, as homeschoolers, you actually make more gains in the older years than you do in the younger years. So if anything, it's more important to homeschool the students as they get older, because that's, from an educational standpoint, where they make the largest gains. And remember, these data come from someone who didn't like homeschooling. In fact, the City Journal quoted him as calling homeschoolers, quote, conservative nuts, end quote. Nevertheless, as much as he was skeptical about homeschooling, his data show that homeschooling does produce the best students for every grade level. Now, that was a fairly old study. It was done in 1998. This is a fairly new study. It was done in 2007. It looks at things a little differently than the other study. This one is using standardized tests, and these standardized tests are for every grade. So there's a grade 1 standardized test, a grade 2 standardized test, and so forth. And what it does is it simply lumps them all together in grades K through 12. So it puts the first graders or the kindergartners and the 12th graders all in the same pot, takes the score they got on their particular test and puts it all together. Now, the way these standardized test scores are scored is that the average student in the nation always gets a 50%. They're actually graded that way. They always make it so that the average student in the whole nation every year gets 50%. That's what that red line represents. That red line represents the average student in the nation. The blue bars represent how homeschooled students do in the various subjects, or at the last bar, overall, for those same tests. So notice where the average student in the nation scores 50, the homeschool grades are somewhere between the high 80s and the low 90s. So clearly, whether you're looking at an older study or a newer study, depending on the methodology you use, either way, homeschooled students achieve significantly better education-wise than their publicly and privately schooled counterparts. Now, what's really interesting about this kind of study here is you can do a little more math with this kind of study because, you know, what we're looking at in this graph is averages, right? The red line is the average student in the nation. The blue bars are the average homeschooling student. But you could ask a slightly different question. Yeah, averages are good to look at, but what about the tails? What about the really poor achievers and the really high achievers? Where do they fit compared to the national average? So let's ask this question instead. Let's ask what percentage of homeschooled students score at least 50% on these standardized tests? So what percentage of students are at least at that red line for every subject matter? So for every subject, what percentage of homeschooled students reach at least the red line? The answer, about 90%. About 90% of homeschooled students score at least 50 on these standardized exams. Now think about what that means. That means 90% of homeschoolers are doing as well as the national average. So you don't even have to be a good homeschooler to give your child a superior education. You could be a pretty lousy homeschooler and still give your child a better education than the public schools. In fact, if you want to make sure that your child gets at least an equivalent education to the average of what's going out there in the nation, all you have to do is strive to stay out of the bottom 10% of homeschooling. If you stay out of the bottom 10% of homeschoolers, then on average, your student is going to do better than the national average. That should tell you something about how effective homeschooling is. Even the rotten homeschoolers are still beating the national average. It's only the abysmal homeschoolers, that bottom 10%, that don't quite make the national average. So that should really tell you something about how effective homeschooling is. Also, if you're worried about whether or not you can teach, please understand that the quality of a homeschooled student's education is truly independent of the parent's qualifications to teach. This is from that 2007 study. If we just looked at all the homeschooling students whose parents are certified teachers and looked at their average test score in the overall category, you would see it was 87%. And once again, you have to remember that compares to 50% for the national average. All right? So if your parents are a certified teacher as a homeschooler, you score 37 points above the mean. If your parents aren't a certified teacher, you actually do a little better. You score 88. Now, of course, when you're looking at numbers like this, you have to understand there's some statistical error involved. I don't think this difference is meaningful. I think 87 and 88 from a statistical point of view are equivalent. In fact, if you do the study again, you might get the numbers reversed or they may go as low as 85 or something like that. I think that's the statistical error representative in the numbers. But the key is clear. Whether you're a certified teacher or not, the homeschooled students score basically the same on these standardized tests, and that's way above the national average. That should tell you something. Also, and this is probably the most important graph I'm going to show, and I'm going to show another study in a second that kind of confirms the same thing. Of all the things that I talk to homeschoolers about, a lot of them say the thing they're worried about most is whether they're educated enough to homeschool. Somehow parents feel like they have to know a certain amount of stuff to be able to homeschool their children. But the data say that's absolutely not important. So here's one way to look at that. Let's take a bunch of students, give them a standardized test, and group them according to their mother's education level. You can make a similar graph for the father, but the mother is usually the one in charge of home education. So group the students according to their mother's education level. So on the left, we have students whose mothers never finished high school. On the right, we have students whose mothers never finished high school. On the left, we have students whose mothers are college graduates. Notice that the blue bars don't vary much among those groups. The blue bars are the homeschooled students. So the homeschooled students score incredibly well on these standardized tests, and the scores are virtually independent of the mother's education level. But notice the maroon bars, or purple, I guess, here. The purple bars, these represent publicly schooled students, and these students, their achievement correlates directly with their mother's education level. The more educated the mother is, the better the student does in public school. Now, this goes exactly opposite about what most people think. Most people think that homeschoolers will never be better than their parents because their parents are the teacher. Therefore, if the parent's uneducated, the child won't do well. The data say that's not what happens. Most people also think that the parent's education level has little to do with a public school student's performance because the publicly schooled student is being taught by experts, so the mother's education level shouldn't play a role. But in fact, it plays a direct role. Now, people who look at these data a lot more than I do say that what you're really looking at here is level of parental involvement. Lots of studies show that the more education the mother is, the more involved the mother will be in the child's public schooling. And that's what explains why these purple bars increase with increasing mother's education. This just means the mothers are more involved. Well, what's the maximum involvement you can have in your child's education? Homeschooling. That's why the blue bars are bigger than any of the purple bars, and that's why the blue bars don't depend on education level, because in the end, this is simply a measure of how involved the parent is. Now, we can look at this a little differently. Let's now look at both parents together, and let's just count the number of college degrees among the parents. So on the left, we have kids who neither one of their parents have a college degree. In the middle, we have kids who one parent has a college degree, and on the right, we have kids in which both parents have a college degree. These are just homeschooled kids, and once again, the national average for this is 50%. Now, here you see a slight dependence, but it's incredibly small. It goes from the low 80s to the mid 80s. All right, whoops, sorry. Need to go back. Hold on. Yeah. It goes from the low 80s to the mid 80s. That's it. So that's a fairly small change, really, especially compared to 50% for the national average. The amount above the national average is more than 30%. So a variation of a few percent within that 30% is not really all that significant. So really, no matter which way you look at parent education level, it seems that parent education level plays almost no role in the quality of the student's homeschool experience. And that's a very important thing to realize. You don't have to be incredibly well-educated to educate your children at home. Now, why is that? Well, think about it for a minute. As parents, we all recognize our own weaknesses. And we all work to make sure those weaknesses don't harm our children. I mean, when my wife and I, we didn't have kids for a long time, but after we started working with homeschooling, we ended up being a situation developing in our church, and we ended up taking in and eventually adopting a teenager. She was 15 when we adopted her, and once we were able to adopt her, we started homeschooling her. So we suddenly had a child, and, you know, we hadn't grown up with children, or, you know, we didn't start from the beginning or anything like that, so suddenly we just had a teenager. One thing we noticed right away is that I was a horrible disciplinarian. Horrible. All my daughter had to do was start having those crocodile tears well up in her eyes, and I would just melt like butter. My wife, however, was very good at putting emotion aside and thinking what's best in the long-term interests of the child, and so she was the disciplinarian. So in the end, I recognized my weakness. I'm not a good disciplinarian. And I gave that job to my wife. All right? So in the end, we all tend to make up for our own weaknesses. So when we start homeschooling, we'll recognize our weaknesses there, and we'll make up for them. Maybe it'll be by having a spouse deal with a couple of courses. Maybe it'll be by going to a co-op for a few courses. But the point is, it's natural for us as parents to make up for our own weaknesses. It's natural for homeschoolers to do exactly the same thing. You don't have to be well-educated to homeschool your child, because in the end, you'll make up for the weaknesses you have. You love your child enough to recognize those weaknesses and work to make sure those weaknesses don't affect you, don't affect your child. Okay, if you're worried about whether you can afford to homeschool, that doesn't seem to matter either. This study looked at homeschoolers and grouped them according to their family's income level. This is an older study. It's about 15 years old now. But nevertheless, it shows that whether the parents make very little money or whether the parents make a lot of money, the average score on standardized tests is pretty much the same and all very high. Once again, 50% is the national average here. The homeschoolers are all in the 80s, regardless of family income. Now, I don't have a graph for the public school, but I seriously doubt it looks like this. My guess is that if we study public school students in this way, we would say the richer the parents, the better the student does. But that's not the case for homeschooling. So if you're worried about whether you can afford all the great curriculum, that doesn't seem to matter either. And once again, that's because we make up for our weaknesses. If I can't afford to buy the best curriculum, I will either get it used, I will mooch off a friend, or I will do something else to make sure that my child still gets a good education, because we make up for our own weaknesses. This is a more recent study on the same phenomenon. We haven't grouped them exactly the same, but the bar on the left is homeschooled students whose parents earn less than $35,000 a year. On the right, more than $70,000 a year. And once again, you see very little variation based on the income level. In the end, the bars are all very tall, well above 50%, and virtually no variation when it comes to income. So this study is only 3 years old, and it's showing pretty much the same trend. So you don't have to be well-educated. You don't have to be well-funded to do well in homeschooling. And then now we're back to the Rudner study, because there's something else in the Rudner study that I think is really, really interesting. In this graph, we're still looking at that DSS score, just the general measure of how educated you are, versus grade level. But now we're looking only at homeschooled students. But we're looking at students who were always homeschooled the whole time, so that's the pink line, and students who were partially homeschooled for a while and then dropped out. Notice that the pink and the blue lines are virtually identical until about grade 5. After grade 5, the blue line stays under the pink line for the rest of the time. This indicates that the longer you homeschool, the better the education is. If you drop out in the end and go to school, you never keep up with the homeschooled students, at least in the higher grades. So once again, this indicates that if you're going to homeschool, you need to keep going in the higher grades, because that's where the best educational gains are made. So stay in homeschool all the time, that seems to produce the best educated students. So there's a lot of data, and honestly, if you look at the academic literature, I don't know anyone who knows the academic literature anymore who would disagree with the statement that the average homeschooled student is significantly academically superior to the average privately schooled student, who in turn is significantly academically superior to the average publicly schooled student. The literature is just overwhelming in making that statement. The studies really do show that. But now the question is, why? Why is it that homeschoolers do so well, especially compared to their publicly and privately schooled counterparts? I can't give you a full answer, but here are my thoughts anyway. One of the most important things from an academic standpoint, I think, is that the love of learning is not socialized out of them. Think back to when you were in school. Were you one of those students who did everything the teacher said, who studied hard, got good grades? Did your peer group reward you for that behavior? I don't know about you, but my peer group didn't reward me. I did everything the teacher said to do. I studied hard. I got good grades. And I was rewarded by my peer group by being put in the lowest rung of the social ladder, being called a nerd, being excluded from all the great social events that happened and so forth. In the end, in most schools, even private schools, it's simply uncool to learn. And so only the nerds and the geeks are the ones who are the good students. At home, your peer group, your family, rewards you mightily for learning. The better you do in homeschool, the better everybody is, the more happy everybody is. So in the end, whereas homeschooled students are rewarded by their peer group for doing well, in public and private schools, that's not the case. So I think schools tend to socialize the love of learning out of a student. Homeschool doesn't do that. Certainly, if you're talking about whether or not you can learn from a curriculum, the curriculum is more likely going to be successful if you can fit the curriculum to the student. And with homeschooling, you can do that. You know, if you've been using one math curriculum for one child and it works great, the next child comes along and they just can't use that curriculum, what do? You go out and get another one. In the end, you figure out what curricula work with what children. If you go to the best school in the United States, for a given grade and a given subject, there's one curriculum and that's it. That's all you get. It's the one-size-fits-all mentality. That doesn't work in education. The more tailored the education can be to the student, the more effective it will be. And that's what we see in homeschooling. That's not what we see in public and private school. Certainly, you can't beat the teacher-to-student ratio. Even in the largest homeschool families, the teacher-to-student ratio is not 1 to 30 like it is in most public and private schools. Homeschooling teaches independent learning. As the student gets older, most likely there are younger students you have to spend more time with, and as a result, the older students are left to do more and more on their own. Now, you might feel bad about that, but in fact, that's the best thing you can do for students, because in the end, the more you can get them learning on their own, the better off they will be when it comes to going to work or going to university. One of the reasons my homeschooled graduates who were at university under my supervision, one reason they did so well was because they didn't have to have me explain every little thing. In the end, they could learn on their own. And, you know, from a philosophical point of view, I think one thing you have to consider that you probably don't think about much is that homeschooling parents impart by example that education is important. I mean, it's one thing for you to look at your student and say, geometry is important. You must learn geometry. Therefore, go to school and learn geometry. It's quite another thing for you to say, geometry is important. You must learn geometry. And therefore, I'm going to make sure you learn it by teaching you or by supervising your education in geometry. So in the end, by saying, I'm going to sacrifice my time and my money and my energy to make sure you learn geometry, that's the best way to tell a student geometry is important. And that only happens in homeschool. So I'm sure I haven't listed every reason, but these are some of the main reasons I think that homeschoolers excel academically. What happens if you go on to college? Now, let me make one statement very clear from the outset. Even though I used to be a professor and I'm a big fan of university, the college is not for everyone. In fact, I think there are far too many children in college right now. There are a lot of kids who are in college for all sorts of crazy reasons that don't make any sense. And as a result, they're wasting their time and their parents' money by being in college. There are essentially two reasons you should go to college. One, if you simply love to learn. If you love to learn, the best place for you when you reach a certain level of cognitive ability is college, because there you will learn from the people who are experts in the field. You will be exposed to a lot of diversity of opinion in the field. That's the place to learn once you reach a certain level. The other reason you go to college is if you have a specific career goal in mind that requires a college degree. If you want to be a lawyer, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a doctor, you go to college. Those are the two reasons you go to college. If you don't have one of those two reasons, don't bother, because in the end, you'll just be wasting your time and your parents' money. So while college is not for everyone, nevertheless, you want to keep that open as an option because college might be for your particular student. So how does homeschooling affect college? Well, when we come to the idea of getting into college, homeschoolers do very, very well. On the standardized SAT test, homeschoolers score 67 points above the national average. They score about 2 points higher on the ACT. The ACT scale is very compressed, so 2 points on the ACT is pretty much the same as 60 or 70 points on the SAT. So even though the number is smaller, those two statistics are actually very, very compatible. What's very interesting of that, as pointed out by Daniel Golden of the Wall Street Journal, you would expect homeschoolers to do worse than the national average because on the average they don't earn as much. We've known for years that the richer your parents are, the better you'll do on the SAT or the ACT. That's a statistic that's been known for many, many years. Well, the average homeschooling family makes less than the national average. So you would expect just based on income then that they should be below average. They defy that demographic correlation and, in fact, go way above the average. So that tells you how incredibly effective homeschooling is. It actually even makes up for the fact that you might not have as much money. John Ryder is on the Stanford University admissions faculty. He's one of the ones that decides whether people come into Stanford. He says they specifically look for homeschoolers. According to him, quote, homeschoolers bring certain skills, motivation, curiosity, the capacity to be responsible for their education that high schools don't induce very well. So in the end, at least this Stanford University admissions person thinks homeschoolers are the better choice for university because homeschooling imparts things that universities are looking for that high schools don't do very well. More than 70% of U.S. universities accept parent-prepared transcripts with equal weight to that of public school transcripts. So it's fairly easy to get in most universities, U.S. universities. And one way you can see that is Stanford University, in the fall of 1999, accepted 27% of its homeschool applicants. That doesn't sound like much until you realize that Stanford only accepts 13% of its applicant pool. And although the numbers vary from year to year based on a lot of things, in the end, Stanford University says on average they are twice as likely to accept a homeschooler than someone from public or private school. So if you're a homeschooler, in fact, you're more likely to get accepted into Stanford University. And this is true of all the major colleges. As a matter of fact, Business Week actually says that homeschooling is considered, quote, the secret weapon for Ivy League admission, end quote. So they think that homeschoolers are so much more likely to be accepted to Ivy League schools that homeschooling is actually a secret weapon for Ivy League admissions. Now, why is it? Why are the big-name schools, the serious schools, why are they so interested in homeschoolers? Well, they see studies like this. Universities do a lot of internal studies all the time, and most of the time these internal studies are not for general consumption. They're never published. They're simply studies for the university to learn more about something going on at the university. Well, Boston University did one of these studies. It was supposed to be an internal study. It was never supposed to be published, but the results they found so striking that they decided to publish the results. They followed homeschooled students for over 6 years at their university. So they studied some students for all 4 years, picked up some students in the beginning and the end. They have 6 years of data on homeschooled students. And on average, the grade point average of these homeschooled students is 3.3 out of 4. So that's a solid B. The GPA of the student body at Boston University as a whole, 2.1. So at Boston University, the average homeschooler was a full letter grade above his or her peers. Kennesaw State University, when they saw this, they said, we did a very similar study. It's an internal study. We never publish any of our internal studies, but we can state that our internal study was pretty much consistent with Boston's. So in the end, when universities actually look at their homeschooled students, they find that their homeschooled students excel compared to everybody else. And the University of St. Thomas recently did a study basically looking at the same thing. And I found it interesting because if I look at this graphic, this is exactly what I saw when I was at university. So basically, the University of St. Thomas has grouped their students according to four groups. Publicly schooled students, those are the green bars. Catholic students, because this is a Catholic university, those are the orange bars. Privately schooled students, those are the red bars. And homeschool students, those are the blue bars. They looked at many, many things. I'm just showing you three of the things they looked at. On the left, they looked at the first-year grade point average. So how well did these students do on average their first year? Notice that the homeschooled students were significantly superior to the public, Catholic, and privately schooled students, who were all roughly equivalent. It didn't matter whether you were publicly schooled, Catholic school, or privately schooled. You scored basically the same first-year GPA, but the homeschooled students were higher. Now, if we go to the fourth-year GPA, basically the same results. Very little difference in public, Catholic, and private school, but the homeschoolers were a notch above. They were better in their fourth-year, their four-year GPA. Now, here's the most interesting one I saw, and that is the graduation rate. So this is simply the percentage of students who actually graduated. And notice that the publicly schooled students were slightly more likely to graduate than the Catholic school students, who were in turn slightly more likely to graduate than the privately schooled students who weren't Catholic. But the homeschooled students were significantly more likely to graduate than all of the others. And like I said, this is what I saw when I taught at Ball State University. You had everybody else, and then you had the homeschoolers. And on average, the homeschoolers were just a cut above. And that's certainly what the University of St. Thomas study indicates as well. So, statistics are nice because they tell you about general trends. They really do tell you about how average homeschoolers do. And even if you are a below average homeschooler, as I said before, homeschooling gives you enough of an advantage that even a below average homeschooler is more likely still better than the average publicly or privately schooled student. And so these statistics are nice, but I want to turn this a little personal now, and I want to talk a little bit about what I noticed specifically about the homeschool graduates who were my students at Ball State University. First, they were significantly more eager to learn. Now, this doesn't mean they came to class a half an hour early, sat in the front row in a three-piece suit, and begged me to start class early. But they did show up on time, they were prepared, and they didn't look like being in class was an annoyance to them. I'll tell you, even my general university population who tended to show up for class regularly really made it look like they were doing me a favor by being there. But that wasn't the case with my homeschool students. They actually were interested in being there. They sought me out for help and additional instruction. This kind of defies the idea that homeschool students are so poorly socialized that they don't know how to reach out to their faculty. In fact, I had very few homeschool students compared to everybody else, but I probably had more contact hours with my homeschool students than anybody else because they sought me out so much for help and additional instruction. They were not afraid to tackle a problem that was not explicitly covered in class. If I gave a problem on a test that required a little bit of thought, it was the homeschoolers who were willing to try to figure it out on the fly. If I asked the publicly and privately schooled students, why didn't you try to answer this question? They would say, because you didn't teach it to me. The homeschooled students didn't feel like they had to have something taught to them. They were willing to try and figure it out as they went. They were certainly more mature when it came to taking responsibility for their own learning, and the best way to see that is they actually read the book. And that is so rare at university. But from the questions they asked in class and outside of class, it was clear they had been actually reading the book. So in the end, on a very personal note, I can say these homeschooled students really are a cut above. The statistics say that, but my own experiences say that as well. Now, homeschoolers do well in the workplace as well. If they don't go to university, go straight to the workplace, they do very well also. Andy Lorenzen is a Chick-fil-A recruiter. He is trying to recruit managers to run Chick-fil-A restaurants. He says he looks for homeschool graduates because, quote, they're smart, ambitious, and very driven. They have a high level of loyalty to the business, are diligent, and have a good work ethic. Dr. Gary Knowles is talking about the business aptitude of homeschool graduates. Quote, they're very well versed in basic business principles. They have the discipline to either run their own business or become quite focused employees. HR Magazine is the trade journal for people who hire other people for a living. They say homeschooled students are a great addition to your employment roster because, quote, their work ethic and personal qualities make an unbeatable combination, end quote. If we're talking not about homeschool graduates but about kids who are still in homeschool, they are often very highly sought after for part-time jobs. Joe Jeffcoat is a Chick-fil-A manager. He says he looks for homeschooled students who are still in homeschool to do part-time jobs, one, because their schedule's flexible, and two, they have a good sense of humor and know how to act. Lots of kids have trouble with judgment, differentiating what's appropriate behavior in the work environment and on the ball field. Not these kids. But hands down, this is my favorite quote. It comes from Patricia Lines, who is a U.S. Department of Education researcher. Here's what she says. Quote, if I didn't know anything about someone other than their educational background, I'd rather hop into a foxhole with a homeschool kid than one from public school. The homeschool kid will be a little better educated and dependent. So whether we're talking about university, the workplace, or even foxholes, homeschool students really do excel. But what about socialization? What about these poor homeschool kids who will never learn to get along with anybody else? Well, in fact, when you look at the studies, you find that, once again, homeschool students are actually superior when you try and measure their socialization. For example, Gary Knowles, who I quoted earlier, he studied Michigan adults who had been homeschooled. So these are homeschool graduates in Michigan who had been homeschooled for most of their secondary education. In his study, none of them were unemployed or on any kind of welfare. At the time, 5.6% of Michigan was unemployed and 11.2% was on some form of social assistance. In the study, he asked them a bunch of questions. 94% said that homeschool prepared them to be independent, and 79% said it helped them interact with those from other levels of society. So if I'm wealthy, homeschooling helped me interact with poor people better. If I'm poor, it helped me interact with white or with rich people better. If I'm black, it helped me interact with white people better. Back and forth, all levels of society, the homeschoolers felt like they were interacting better with those levels of society because they were homeschooled. Dr. Larry Shires is a clinical psychologist in Florida. His PhD thesis won the award for the most significant piece of research done in education that year. And basically what he did was he studied the behavior of homeschooled and publicly schooled students in both free and structured play. And he had other clinical psychologists evaluate how these kids were interacting with everybody else. And he found that when you compared who was homeschooled to who wasn't, you could find virtually no difference in the way the homeschooled kids and the publicly schooled kids interacted with each other. The only difference you could measure was the fact that the homeschooled kids had fewer problem behavior scores. Other than that, you couldn't distinguish who was homeschooled and who wasn't by the way they socialized. Dr. Dielhuck has shown that homeschool students are significantly less peer dependent. That's got to be a good thing. Montgomery has shown that homeschool students are just as active in extracurricular activities that promote leadership as privately schooled students. Andrews University studied homeschooled students using the Pierce-Harris self-concept scale, which is an attempt to measure how well you think of yourself. In order to be healthy psychologically, at least according to psychologists, you have to have a good enough opinion of yourself that you realize that you deserve good things, but you can't have such a good opinion of yourself that it goes into egotism. So in the end, the Pierce-Harris self-concept scale gives you a score, and the higher your score, the closer you are to that perfect amount of self-confidence that doesn't spill over into being egotistical. In their study, over half of the homeschooled students scored in the top 10% of the nation when it comes to their self-concept. But probably the most definitive study I think that's been done was done as a master's thesis by Thomas Smedley. He used a standard scale that's used in social sciences called the Vineland Adaptive Behavior Scale. And this is supposed to assess the mental age of the subject being studied. It splits the subject's socialization into four categories. Community interactions, how good a neighbor are you going to be? Daily living, do you get up on time, do you go to work, school, whatever? Socialization, what's your friend network like? And overall maturity, if I ask you to do something, are you going to get it done? So you can measure the subject in either of those four areas, or you can give an overall score to the student. If I look at the overall score, all four together, homeschooled students are in the top, the average homeschooled student is in the top 16% of the nation when it comes to overall evaluation. If I look specifically at the socialization category, the average homeschooled student is in the top 27% of the nation. So clearly, homeschoolers do very well with socialization. The studies that are done really do show that. And of course, that makes sense. Because in the end, I think the homeschool model is actually a more healthy socialization model. Because in the end, in a school, you will be cloistered away with a bunch of kids who are your own age and your own socioeconomic status. And so in the end, that's not a very realistic view of what life is. In the family, you have to interact with people of all ages. That's a more realistic view of real life. And so it's not surprising in the end that homeschooled students are better socialized by all the studies anyway than their publicly or privately schooled counterparts. So whether we're talking about academic achievement or socialization, homeschooling really does produce superior students. Now, why are homeschoolers so well socialized? Well, like I said already, they're forced to interact with multiple age groups regularly. I think that's a big thing. They avoid many of the negative role models you find in schools. And I'm not talking so much about the faculty. You find a few negative faculty here and there. But there are so many negative role models you find even in private schools among the students' peers. And in the end, that's one of the least healthy ways of socializing is to show them negative role models amongst their own peers. They are supervised much more closely. The fact is, you can't learn all that much about what your student is doing with his or her friends if your student's away from you 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Simply because homeschoolers have a better watchful eye because they're right there with their student, simply because of that, the students are less likely to get in trouble. They're taught morals. You know, in most public schools, it's not legal to teach them morals. They're taught morals at home. And I honestly think one of the big things, the reasons homeschoolers are so well socialized, is their role models, their parents, demonstrate sacrificial love on a daily basis. You know, your kids are never going to come out and say this until they're much older. But please understand, they recognize how much you sacrifice in order to homeschool them. And whether or not they appreciate it at the time, they at least recognize that. And they see that you are sacrificing in order to give them what you think is a superior education. That's sacrificial love. And they recognize that. Whether they appreciate it or not at the time, they recognize it. And so I think that makes them better people because on a daily basis, they see what it means to sacrificially love someone else. Okay, now, if you've got questions, we are going to take some questions, but I think I'm going to give it back to Lee now because I think she wants to do something, right?
Yep. Thank you, Jay. Boy, that was really wonderful. I loved hearing all those statistics again, so thank you so much for doing that. And like you, I also believe that the love that parents have for their child is really going to be what's ensures their success. One thing you did mention was that teacher-student ratio, and as I consult mostly with homeschooling high school, I usually tell people that also the student-to-guidance counselor ratio is also quite superior. So I just wanted to make a few notes about my giveaways or my takeaways from this, and that is that homeschooling does work regardless of your income or education level, because I get a lot of questions about that. And homeschooling works better the longer you homeschool. I loved that, especially since I work with kids that are, you know, parents that are mostly at the very end stages of homeschooling. And I always do tell parents that homeschooling high school is the best preparation you can give to your children, both for college and also for life. And like you, I've noticed that colleges love homeschoolers. In my own experience, it seems closer to 90% of colleges seem to accept parent-made transcripts. I think that that is changing dramatically over time. And as parents do simple things like say, I think you should accept homemade transcripts, and colleges say, oh, okay, because they want the homeschoolers. So it's one of the interesting things. So what I believe about homeschooling is that it is the best preparation for college and for life, and that the biggest problem is fear. Parents fear failure, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to present this information to people. They fear that they're going to harm their children, and I think you spoke to that perfectly. They're also fearful of transcripts. And one of the things that I do for parents is to help them overcome their fear of transcripts by providing the support and training and tools that they need through the Home Scholar Total Transcript Solution. And it will help you to not be fearful of transcripts so that you can give those to the colleges. And let me just really quickly tell you about the Home Scholar Total Transcript Solution. There are four easy steps to making your transcript. Step one is a class called Making a Transcript, and it's audio training, and it's meant to help you understand the basics really quickly. Step two is my ebook, and there's a picture of the ebook there. It's called The Easy Truths About Homeschool Transcripts, and it's really meant to be as simple as possible so that you can understand it as quickly and easily as possible. Step three is my transcript template collection, so you get all the transcript templates you could ever possibly want and then get to choose the one that you like the best, even if it's just because of the color of the transcript. And then step four is personal coaching sessions. That's why I have a picture of me on the telephone, because that's actually me consulting with somebody on the phone about their transcript. And when you get the Total Transcript Solution, you do get 1 month of consulting for free that comes with that purchase through this website. Because you purchase the Total Transcript Solution, we do have great bonuses. And the first bonus is on high school testing. And that covers a bunch of acronyms like the SAT, ACT, PLAN test, PSAT, CLEP AP, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some because there's lots of them. Bonus number two is the Home Scholar Resource Pack, and that will help you plan your high school courses so you know how many sciences to teach and how much math to teach and that sort of thing. Bonus three is 7 Secrets to Homeschooling Through a Financial Storm. My goal there is to give you so many tips on how to save money while you're homeschooling that it's not actually going to cost you anything at all to purchase the product. I'm just trying to help. And bonus four, like I said, is that 30-day free trial membership to the Home Scholar Silver Training Club. And I did ask Jay to take a look at the Silver Training Club, and I was wondering if you had any feedback about that. What did you think when you took a look at it?
Well, you know, I think what's really great about what you've done is, you know, you're taking your own experiences from when you're, you know, when your own children went to university and that. But you've gone a lot farther than that. I mean, there are a lot of homeschool veterans who can say, you know, well, here's what we did, and here's how my son or daughter got into university and so forth. But you have taken the time to really see, you know, what changes have happened in university admissions policies and so forth over time. So this is incredibly up-to-date information, but it's seasoned with that experience you have. And I think that's exactly what most homeschoolers are missing. You know, you've got in a homeschool situation, you don't have a guidance counselor who's going to help you with these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think you're really filling that role in an experienced way, but also keeping things fresh and updated. So that's really great.
Thank you. Yeah, it kind of ties into what you were saying earlier about how the more tailored the education, the more effective it is. And so I do try to make sure that I have something for everybody on the Silver Training Club so that they can tailor the education to their child. So thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that. So just so you know, the cost of the Silver Training Club is $27 a month if you continue, and you can cancel at any time. So if you purchase the Total Transcript Solution, it's $47, and it's $27 a month if you decide to continue. But because we're having a webinar, when I have webinars like this, I like to provide some surprises and some fast mover bonuses. And the first fast mover bonus is an online training course called Getting the Big Scholarships to help people learn how to play the marketing game with their high schooler and get them to get the best possible scholarship from the colleges. Fast mover bonus number two is called The Keys to High School Success. And again, that's an online training course. The third fast mover bonus is a workshop I just love giving. It's called the 1-Hour Transcript Workshop. It's a webinar that's online, and it's parents get so afraid of making their homeschool transcript that they fail to actually get started. And so the purpose of that workshop is just to force people to get their transcript done in a big hurry in 1 hour, and it's been very effective. So if you order today the Total Transcript Solution, you'll get all three of those bonuses, and again, the price is just $47. And you can get more information here.